So Keir Starmer has announced a drastically scaled back pledge. If his party wins this year's election, it'll now spend just under £24 billion over the course of the entire Parliament.
Since we announced the £28 billion, the Tories have done terrible damage to our economy, not just the Liz Truss budget, but also now the government briefing that it's going to max out on the government credit card. Reckless.
Environmentalists and some backbenchers have criticised the move. The former Prime Minister Gordon Brown says Rishi Sunak should apologise for a transgender jibe he made in the House of Commons yesterday. The PM joked about Keir Starmer's definition of a woman as he listed Labour U-turn. Ukraine's president has replaced the chief of his army after months of rumours about a rift between them. Oleksandr Syrsky, who was born in Russia, has been appointed in the biggest shake-up since Russia's invasion began. America's highest court has heard arguments as Donald Trump fights a ruling that he can't run in November's presidential election in Colorado. State judges ruled he should be disqualified because of his role in the storming of Washington's Capitol building in 2021. Justices seem skeptical about the original decision, and speaking in Florida, the former president was positive.
Every one of these cases you see comes out of the White House. It comes out of Biden. It's election interference, and it's really very sad. I thought the presentation today was a very good one. I think it was well received. I hope it was well received.
We could soon see sin bins in use in professional football. The sport's lawmaking body is publishing details of new trials tomorrow, which could see players issued with blue cards in order to spend 10 minutes on the sidelines. And that's the latest. I'm Simon English.
This is Phoenix FM.
Weather on Phoenix FM. Sponsored by HBAC, the award-winning home improvement company for windows, doors, conservatories and extensions.
Well, if you've just got in from work or you are heading home from work, you will know that it's a pretty miserable night out there. Further spells of heavy rain will be moving in from the south. Shut the door and stay warm. It's going to remain very wet throughout the overnight period, and winds will pick up as well. It will be mild, there's the good bit for you. Lows of just 10 degrees. Sounds great. Tomorrow morning we'll start with a variable cloud. Breaks. Some showers will be moving in though. The afternoon will see very similar conditions, highs of 12 degrees centigrade. And the outlook for the weekend, Saturday, will have a rather cloudy but start. In the afternoon, spells of rain drift in from the south, heavier by the evening. And showers will continue into Sunday morning with variable cloud, but turning dry and sunny in the afternoon. There you go.
Weather on Phoenix FM, sponsored by SEHBAC. Winning improvement company, proudly served Essex for over 50 years. Contact us on 0800 666 44 or visit sehbac.com for help with your home.
Phoenix FM travel news.
Alright, as you'd imagine, there are problems out there tonight on a night like this. Driving, rain, etc, etc. I'll just run you through the main points. The A127 eastbound, there is slow moving traffic on Prince's Avenue. That's between Nestido Avenue and Cuckoo Corner. In Southend, there's slow moving traffic on Victoria Avenue between East Street and West Street and Queensway. On the A13, slow moving traffic on the London Road eastbound between Westbourne Grove and Victoria Avenue. Over at Colchester, St Andrews Avenue, there's slow-moving traffic between Colchester Road and Colne Causeway. In Chelmsford, slow-moving traffic on the Broomfield Road, the B1008. That's between Kings Road and Rectory Lane. And staying in Chelmsford, on Parkway, eastbound, there is slow-moving traffic between Rainsford Lane and Victoria Road South. In Wickford, there's slow-moving traffic between the Nevenden interchange for the A127 and the London Road A129. Southwood and Ferrers, slow-moving traffic on Burnham Road. That's between Ferrers Road and the Rettenden Turnpike. In Billericay, Western Road remains closed. So if you are coming up from Shenfield towards Billericay, you can't turn down Western Road. Instead, continue up to Suncorn and turn left into the High Street. And of course, traffic is busy after that. There's also flooding the Daly Road, or the London Road, I think, at Hutton, right near the Mexican restaurant. One carriageway, the one that's going towards Shenfield, so traffic is heading into the opposite carriageway to get past. That's obviously causing disruption. There's also in the usual troubled spots, High Street, Brentwood at Wilson's Corner and down into the Ongar Road. It's moving, but it's hit. As always, be careful out there. You don't need to rush. That's your traffic and travel. We've got to thank Joe for Drive. Always excellent. She's back tomorrow at 3. Now, Phoenix, 2 hours of sport starting with me, Mutu, and cricket all the way till 7 o'clock with 98
FM. 98 FM and online. This is Phoenix FM.
Well, welcome along to 98 Not Out. I hope you've had a great week, enjoying the feast of cricket that's been going on all around the world. Some of it involving England. We'll be updating tonight on England's progress in the second test against India. Charles Bagnall. He'll be joining us from Johannesburg to update us on the Under-19 World Cup. World Cup's non-stop these days. And there's plenty of news, home and abroad. Player movements, county movements. Lots of news, lots to get through. And I promise it won't be as rushed as last week. Remember, if you want to get in touch with the show, email radio@phoenixfm.com, title your mail 98 Not Out, and it will get through to me. If you want any comments or suggestions on tonight's show, just go that way. Or you can use social media messaging functions, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. We're on all of those. Just look for 98 Not Out. And while you're there, make sure you like and follow. That will come through to me directly. And of course, you're listening to Phoenix FM 98 on the FM dial in the Brentwood and Billericay areas. By the internet, phoenixfm.com, click on Listen Live. And I keep forgetting to say we're on Mixcloud as well. Of course, remember to shout at your smart speaker to play Phoenix FM. Lots of ways to listen in. And of course, if you're busy, and I appreciate a lot of people are at this time of night, the show will be able to download going to the phoenixfm.com website. And you can listen at your leisure. And you can also subscribe to the podcast. It's free wherever you get your podcast from. I know there's a lot of you out there love a podcast. That's not enough. We're on YouTube as well. In a different style. Man called Jah Thomas in a rubber dub style. Man called Jah Thomas in a different style. Man called Jah Thomas at the change up in style. Man called Jah Thomas in a list strong style. 98 Not Out here till 7 o'clock, right here on Phoenix FM. Right, shall we get into it? It's cricket birthdays of the week. Now, it didn't seem to me quite as busy as it normally is, but still, we've got a good list of names of people from the cricketing world that are celebrating. We'll start off with Bubi Kumar. He's 34. Australia's Darren Lehman, 54. Marlon Samuels, 43. Mitchell Santner, 32. Brad Hogg, 53. Darren Bravo, 35. Staying with these, Fidel Edwards, 42. Keshav Maharaj, 34. Rassi van der Dusen, 35. Aftab Habib, 52. Mohammed Azruddin. He'll be familiar to older listeners. He hits 61. The wonderful Glenn McGrath, 54. Alfonso Thomas, 47. Mike Bridge, 53. And last but not least, Essex's very own Simon Hutmer is 35. And remember, if you want to have your name added to the Cricket Birthdays of the Week list, just email me, radio@phoenixfm.com, and let me know if it's your birthday or someone you know. Tell us how old you are. And if you want, tell us a little bit about them. And we will read it out.
This is Phoenix 98 FM.
Right, let's start with England, shall we? Now, the series with India is level at one apiece after a target of 399 to win the second test proved to be well beyond the tourists last Sunday. One of those moments where I'm sure many of you out there would have got up early expecting yet more baseball heroics, but it wasn't to be. But guaranteed that if you'd laid in and just thought, oh, I'll catch up later on, you would have missed everything. But not to be. It was all over fairly quickly. And to complete a chase that would have broken a host of records, bowled out for 292 to lose by 106 runs on a fairly anticlimactic fourth day. England made a great start and they reached 95 for one. But the promoted and new Nighthawk, Rehan Ahmed, was trapped leg before by Akshar Patel to signal a regular fall of wickets. Opener Zach Crawley looked to be England's main hope. What a turnaround he's had since in the last 12 months. Absolutely superb. Well batted, mate. He batted for 73 when he was given LBW to Kuldeep Yadav, which was on review. And then from that point, the game started to slip away. Slim hope remained in the shape of Ben Stokes, only for the captain to be run out in a wasteful fashion by a direct hit of Shreyas Iyer. That was a fairly reckless attempt at a run. Didn't need to do that. There's plenty of time left. I'm sure Stokes will be ruling that. But we move on. At that point, with 179 required, and only remaining, India could breathe a bit more easily. Ben Folkes and Tom Hartley delayed India with a stand of 56. Hartley surviving two reviews would have given Ravi Ashwin his 500th test wicket. Step forward fast bowler Jasprit Bumrah, and he pouched a return shot at the milestone. But Bumrah uprooted Hartley's off stump to end with 8 in the innings and 9 in the match, leaving Ashwin on 499 wickets going into the third test in Rajkot on February the 15th. Now, England's young spinners are flourishing in India because of Ben Stokes' leadership, says Rehan Ahmed. And despite playing only one test between them before the tour, Ahmed, Tom Hartley and Shoaib Bashir have a combined 26 wickets after just two tests. They have more wickets than India's experienced lineup, despite coming up against some of the best batters in the world on their own or in their own conditions. Ahmed said that shows just how great the team environment is. Remember, he's only 19. Tommy and Bash, you see them come in and not be nervous, and that's credit to the team. The environment and the leadership doesn't make you kind of forget the players you are playing against. We just focus on what we need to do. They, i.e. Oakes and McCullum, just don't care about how bad things can go. It's always about how what good you can get out of it. So if I bowl four bad balls and then get a wicket, that's better than bowling 16 balls in a row. Ahmed has 8 wickets in the series, with 24-year-old Hartley taking 14, and Bashir, aged 20, has already got 4 wickets. It's a fantastic performance. It's a team performance. And you can argue about the methods, but it's producing absolutely superb cricket. Questions are around looking across the various social media outlets and websites this week. Joe Root's form is being questioned. Is Ben Folk now undroppable? And what about Jack Leach? Where does he go with the emergence of these new controls? The team are now off to Abu Dhabi for a five-day break with their families. The Telegraph reports most are not taking cricket kit. Dan Lawrence is, because he's playing two franchise matches, which must be a first during an England tour. And as I said, Jack Leach remains doubtful ahead of the first test in Magicot, which begins on the 15th of February. I'd love to know your thoughts on this. I mean, as always, it's an unorthodox approach to touring. I can't imagine in the days of Gooch, Boycott, etc., etc., would have hopped off to go and have put their feet up and play a bit of golf in the middle of a tour. But this is how England are these days. This is the new dawn. And like it or not, it does seem to be bringing results.
Across Brentwood and Billericay, this is Phoenix FM.
Okay, let's have a bit of music now. This is the Skids and Into the Valley.
This is Phoenix 98 FM.
Yes, indeed, you're listening to Phoenix FM. This is 98 Not Out with me, Darren Mutu. Cricket till 7 o'clock, and then the wonderful John Chubb arrives for an hour of a non-action. 8 o'clock, Gareth is with Bumper to Bumper, and then the excellent Madeline Christie's here at 10 with the night shift with excellent country music, old and new, and special guests as well. So don't miss that. Madeline's got a guest in the studio tonight. She's talking to Hannah Blaylock, who's a award-winning country and Americana singer. So don't go anywhere on this horrible Thursday night. Lock it into Phoenix to be entertained and kept company all the way.
This is Phoenix 98 FM.
I'm sure many of you will have seen that Alistair Nathan Cook has had his portrait unveiled in the Pavilion Lords. If you've ever had the chance to go and see that, there are some fantastic paintings that hang in that august location. For me, my favourite is greets you when you walk in. Absolutely stunning. But I think Cookie's one is fantastic. There's a couple of dodgy ones in there. I won't name which ones, but there are one or two that you sort of think, who did that? And was it a sort of a school project or something? But not the case with Alistair. And I think it really, really captures the essence of the man. He's painted or pictured reclining at the foot of his stairs in his home on his farm, next to a staircase that he's had made, where all of the banisters are formed from stumps that he has kept down his illustrious career. And he does look very relaxed and very laid back. He is a very laid back, calm person. I don't think I've ever seen him agitated. And that is caught very well by the artist, and it's a great go anywhere near Lourdes and get into the Pavilion. It's there, so do take a look.
This is Phoenix 98 FM.
All right, some more cricket news from around the world. Obviously Southern Hemisphere, because this is not cricket, is it? Australia against the West Indies. Now, after the heroics in Brisbane, the West Indies came crashing back down to earth. Australia completed a 3-0 ODI series win over the West Indies with a historic 8-wicket victory in Canberra. The host won with 43 overs and a ball to spare, making it the shortest completed ODI ever played in Australia. Xavier Bartlett took 4 wickets for Australia as West Indies collapsed from 38 for 1 to 86 all out. Jake Fraser-McGurk with 41 and Josh Inglis, 35 not out, raced to the target inside 7 overs. Australia, who led the series 2-0 going into third and final ODI, struggled to take early wickets, but it kept West Indies' run scoring quiet with the tourists 38 for 2 midway through the 11th over after KC Carty was dismissed. Alec Athanasi, 32, was the only West Indies player to score more than a dozen runs, with extras 13 outscoring all of the West Indies' other batters as they were dismissed in 24 overs and a ball. Fast bowler Bartlett, aged 25, was making just his second ODI appearance after taking 4 wickets on his debut in the first ODI of the series. He claimed another 4, including the wicket of visiting captain Shai Hope. Spinner Adam Zampa and quickie Lance Morris also took 2 wickets each. Now, Australia's chase of 87 was fast. Openers Inglis and Fraser-McGurk scored Australia's fastest. Scored Australia's fastest team at 50 in ODI cricket since 2003. They put on 67 in the first 5 overs at the Manuka Oval. 32-over match took just over 3 hours to complete. The two sides will now face each other in a T20 series, which starts tomorrow in...
Across Brentwood and Billericay, this is Phoenix FM.
Right, time for my guest, and it's our old friend Charles Dagnall, who's down in South Africa covering the Under-19 World Cup for various people. So I caught up with him, and I wanted to know his thoughts on what he's been seeing. Well, there's a lot of things going on at the moment, and the head has been grabbed, probably rightly, by England. A test series against India, but there's lots of other stuff going on, and the one that to me seems to be the one that has gone furthest under the radar is the Under-19 World Cup, which is down in South Africa. Now, my mate, they're covering it, so I thought let's get him along and get up to speed with what's been going on. Good to see you, Charlie. How are you?
Yeah, really well, thank you. Nice to be back. What you actually, my good friend John. Is doing literally nothing. He's like in bed, and he'll have 10 minutes to talk to me. And you're right. You're more than right, but I'm too happy to speak to you again, mate. And it has gone under the radar, given the amount of cricket that's on. But goodness me, we've seen seriously good stuff down there.
Absolutely. Now, it just sort of occurred to me that, you know, you look at players, whatever format, and we're not going to get into a format debate, but there are a lot of players that are kind of on the, shall we say, the victory lap of their careers. So that makes me think, well, you know, let's have a look at the conveyor belt and where's the next lot of top stars going to come from. And this under-19 sort of era of players seems to have quite a few future stars. I know there's a couple you picked up and seeing there's a couple there, but England do seem to be have an embarrassment of riches amongst the youngsters at the moment.
Yes, they do. If only they could have put it in and reached the semi-finals. Did they have the talent to make the semi-finals? Absolutely. They just completely stuffed it up against the West Indies, and that's not to denigrate what the West Indies did. They played beautifully. But I think the England were too giving of their wickets away from the softest missiles, and it was almost of the opinion that, well, if I get out, don't worry, someone else is going to get them, and no one actually did. And that was in the final group game, which meant the Super Sixes, as it turned out, and England were in a pretty tough group, but one that they would have been expected to win, with the West Indies, with South Africa, and with Scotland. And so when you talk about embarrassment of riches, yes, to a certain degree, is the talent there? Goodness me, yeah. I mean, they have got some seriously good players. But did that all necessarily come together, given the format of this tournament? You don't go through in top spot, and then you're asking about net run rates, and you're hoping for a result here and there to potentially go your way. The way that the tournament is sorted out, you know, Australia cruise through their group, they're top of the table. India cruise through theirs, Pakistan cruise through theirs. And when you go into the Super Six stages of the tournament, you're in a really, really good position to make the semi-finals. You've got to do something criminal not to make the semi-finals. And as we've seen right now, as I talk to you, India are taking on South Africa. But because of England's defeat to the West Indies, that will open the door for the teams in that group. And South Africa have taken huge advantage of it with a stunning win against Scotland. They then overcame Sri Lanka, and by then they were already in, England being defeated by Australia. So, yes, they've got an embarrassment of riches, but it didn't necessarily come together, you know, in this comp. But let me tell you, there's one or two that are, says, well, you know, but I thought this was an interesting one. 27% of all the players that have played in the Under-19 World Cup have gone on to represent their country internationally. That is an alarming percentage. So when I come here and do the Under-19 World Cup, I think, well, these are the players that we're going to be seeing for the next decade or so. And that's not to mention those who could go on to have good first-class careers, domestic careers, and the rest of it. I would imagine the percentage rises hugely. Most of the lads within the England staff and on many of the players have already played some form of first-class cricket. It really is the bedrock of where the talent comes from.
Yeah, it's a good point. This current revival that's going on, which is welcome to everyone in the cricketing world. But again, yes, you look through that current squad, there's a lot of players there that were at the Under-19 World Cup, even last time round. It's a real breeding ground.
They are, and it's very interesting. We get driven, because obviously we come out here and have a couple of games and stuff, but we don't know really who anyone is. The Vitality Blast, the 100, or the Women's Internationals, or whatever it may be. And those who are either playing second team cricket or pathway academy cricket, they really get to see. So we'll learn to go for a lot of these players. Now, what they do is to give us a little bit of an indication of their character and where they're from and how they like to play their cricket and how they envisage what sort of players inspire them or who do they liken themselves to. They answer all these questionnaires. It's like a double-edged origin of questions. We get to learn. And this is interesting. You know, you look at a lot of the West Indies players and a lot of some Zimbabwe players, those from not outside of the big three. A lot of their answers, where do you see yourself? What's your ambition? So, IPL, franchise, one of the other. And their view, I say both, is a real mixed bank. But a good portion see their future in franchise cricket. Not necessarily the first thing on the list being their national team. Now, that's no blame for them. That is absolutely a legitimate answer to give. But it is sort of eye-opening when you think, well, the first thing I want to do is represent the country at a senior level. But such is the case with finances in the game and the way that the game is played, a lot of lads actually see that being franchise players. And it was noticeable in a couple of these batters who do, they look sensational, mates. There's a lad called John Johnson. And he gets to the crease, and he looks like there's no trouble, and he gives it a good old biff, and he makes 20-odd, and then gives it away, trying to hit the next one for 4, and the next one for 6, because I imagine that's where he sees his pitch. So it's kind of sad, because it's not for a lack of talent. There's talent there. There's some good players there. But sadly, you know, we'll... And I'm using the West Indies as an example. There's, obviously... lots of other nations but as regards talent, plenty of it.
Yeah, it's interesting you mentioned Johnson. We had Roland Butcher on over Christmas, and he highlighted Johnson, and he also highlighted Mar Joseph. I don't know what became of him.
I can't remember. Personally, there's a couple of West Indies cricketers, if we're on the topic. Nathan Seeley, left-arm spinner, like him. He's got a bit of attitude and a bit of character, and he's a good left-arm spinner. Terry Gedwood, off-spinner, is very useful indeed. I thought he's bowled better than his figures say. And Nathan Edwards, little all-rounder. Bowls a little bit like Sam Curran in that kind of left-arm swing, but he's accurate, he can bat. And the captain, Stephen Pascal. Now, I expect to be in West Indies colours. I think maybe 3 or 4 years of he's not ready yet, but that kid's something. He really does. Jewel Andrew, we watched the wicketkeeper score a brilliant 130 against South Africa. But he took his opportunity and almost took West Indies to victory over them. Lots just keep an eye out from the West Indies. But obviously, England, I have to say I was slightly underwhelmed by their seamers. Maybe we didn't get to see the best of them. I like Eddie Jack. Big, hulking. I've got his built like a wardrobe, this dude. he's from Hampshire. And he really does hit the pitch hard. And he's got some pace. And I liked him, but he didn't bowl in the power play. That's a little sort of asterisk there that I'd like to see him bowl in the power play. But for me, the Ben McKinney, the captain, Durham, left-hander, it's like watching Truscopic. It's, seriously good timer of a cricket ball. Again, gives his wicket away a little bit too softly. But goodness, he's 6'6". He's got, you know, very simple technique. But the two that really blew my mind were the two spinners. And I think these kids, if you sent these two kids, mates, off to India tomorrow, they wouldn't do a lot worse than who's out there. And even those guys out there have done really, really well. I think the talent of these two kids is that good.
They're frighteningly young as well, aren't they?
Oh, they are. Farhan Ahmed is Rehan's brother. And he's on the Knox pathway. He's an off spinner. And he is just a beautiful bowler. He bowls. He gives it a rip. He gets his fingers over the ball. He gets an extra bounce. He's got a brilliant arm ball. And he's 16. Yeah. Now, I know we're watching these players in within their peer groups. But you just look at a player sometimes and go, yeah, this kid's got it. I'm sorry, you can put him into any situation. And I think he'd deal with it really well. Farhan is one. The other is Taz Ali.
the Warwickshire leg spinner. And not only does he rip his leggy and rip his googly, but he's unwaveringly accurate. And for a leg spinner, that is a good thing. You think, you know, now and again, you're going to get a full bunner or a half tracker or something. Don't bowl, man. He really doesn't. I think batters, top batters would pick him. But I think that is something that he will learn to disguise better over the course of time. I fully agree with Leslie or whatever, if not to use him, and Taz as well. And the other player is, and we didn't get to see a lot of him, because there was a few headlines surrounding him in the previous game against Zimbabwe, the last one that England played, and that is Hamza Sheikh from Warwickshire. And goodness me, is this player easy on the eye. I mean, he has some lovely languid strokes, effortless timing, and so much time at the crease. You would, you know, he's got time to burn. But he went and picked up the ball from where the popping crease was. He thought it was dead. He picked it up. He gave it to the wicketkeeper, and they appealed for obstruction of the field, and off he went. So... cause many ructions within the cricketing world, did it? Anyway, we move on. But the kids can play. The kids can really play. So plenty to keep an eye on.
Yeah, and from an Essex point of view, Essex have got three youngsters out there. Charlie Allison, Luke Bankenstein, and Noah Thain, who seem to have done okay. They haven't had any
good
shockers from what I've seen so far.
No. I really like Allison. I like them all, to be honest, but I thought that we did see Bankenstein. You know, he bowled okay in the first one, but he is a leg spinner that you are going to get some, you know, a mixed bag. You know, he'll bowl you an absolute ripping tracker, and then you might get a full bunger and a half tracker in the same over kind of thing. So he would, for me, needs to work his consistency a bit. And we didn't see him at all, really, with the bat. He didn't perform the way he would have liked. Noah Thain looks good-looking player. Bowls a bit of medium pace. I mean, it's occasional medium pace, I would have thought, to be honest. His batting is his strong suit, but looks very organised at the crease. He's got the game. He hits 360. Predominantly a little bit more through the offside. But again, good head on his shoulders. Essex will be very, very pleased with what they've got coming through with him. But I like Allison, like Charlie Allison. I think he is a good-looking player. He has played spin really well, got a great flog sweep on him, and he manipulates the field nicely. It's like many of these players coming out of academies now. They've got all the shots. Darren, they've got all of them. They've got the tackles, the sweeps, the reverses, the slog sweeps, the hits over the top. They, you know, they're little tricks that you know, wide ball cricket need. They seem to be sort of emanating and being spurted out of the academies with all of these shots. So I think sometimes the England players, I know it sounds ridiculous to say that sometimes you can have too many and you think that you've got to play them all, where actually you don't. You can pick and choose the ones that work for you in a particular, you know, when situation calls for it. But yeah, Essex will be very, very pleased. Three there, three from Warwickshire, a couple from Lancashire. I mean, there was another Warwickshire player that I liked called Theo White, who was a senior, and he bowls left-arm spin, a bit like, not built like that. But he used to be a seamer, and then he converted to left-arm spin, took 4-4 against Australia, and he gives it a nudge at the top of the order. But yeah, lots to come through, and I go through all of those players, Darren, and I tell you, I just think, goodness me, I'm sorry, but you've stuffed this up. There is the talent and there is the quality to have potentially won this competition, and I think they will be going home pretty annoyed with themselves.
Yeah. Yes, and it was for, you know, as you say, there were one or two results where they kind of let it slip a little bit, where you know, if they'd have performed just that little bit more, they would still be there in these in the final stages. Now, yeah. We're used to seeing you on foreign shores and in fantastically luxurious hotels. Tell me you've got your bass guitar with you.
I have got my bass guitar with me. It is just situated. It's next to the given the standard of my playing at this point, actually, is where I might just fill the bath and put it in. It is getting plucked. So I usually have an early evening pluck on the bass, where the temperature outside is quite nice, around about 5 or 6 o'clock, and just take it outside and have an hour to myself. I love taking it with me, because after, you know, you're going through all the cricket and you're travelling all over, and it's been quite an intense period, with, I think it was 11 games I did in 14 days and all 50 over cricket, and it was brilliant, absolutely lovely. We travel in between. But now and again, you just need a minute, like anybody does. You just need a minute, and what better thing to play bad notes or the wrong notes, as is my want on the bass. So yes, it's there, and it's sort of begging, it's asking me, looking at me now, just going, come on, you fancy an hour, I've got to watch the cricket. So maybe like...
It's a sad week for bass players around the world, because we've lost Aston Famuan Barrett, who was the bass player of the Wailers. Interesting story with him, 43 children?
Things seem to work in that department. But I'm very pleased to say that that's where we differ. just the one for me.
Yeah, it's very sad news. I think if anyone that's listened to this doesn't know who he is, if you just think of any Bob Marley track, any of them, it would be Family Man playing the bass on his Fender Jazz, I think was his preferred axe, wasn't it?
It was, and that is what I have, but trust me, the sounds that emanate from mine are not the same as Family Man bass at all, categorically.
All right, and where are you up to next after you've finished this competition?
Get home, and we shall wait and see. Not sure what's going on as yet, but fingers crossed there will be another trip in the offing very, very soon indeed. But I'll be keeping across everything that's going on. Obviously, the WPL is coming up. Trip to New Zealand. They've got some one days when he's over in New Zealand. So we'll keep across that. And soon after that, there'll be the hunting draft and all of those sort of things. So yes, lots to look forward to.
Yeah, and a men's World Cup out in the West Indies and the United States as well. Charlie, great to see you.
I'm going to be on that trip, mate. I would like to, but I don't think they're going to ask me for that one.
I'll put a word in. Okay. Tough from South Africa. Brilliant to talk, and we'll catch up soon.
Well done. Cheers, mate.
The February issue of the Cricketer magazine is out now. We have a full preview of England men's Test series in India with George De Bell, Jonathan Trott, Graham Fowler, Vic Marks and Mike Selby. Nick Friend looks at the relentlessness of today's domestic schedule and talks to modern cricketers who find it unsustainable. We also have David Carroll reviewing England's one-day matches in the Caribbean before Christmas, and the former West Indies fast bowler Colin Croft comes off his long run to explain why West Indies players take the franchise buck. That's in the February issue of the Cricketer magazine, out now.
Thanks to Charles Dagnall. Great interview. And always wonderful to catch up. And interesting stuff about the under-19s England side. And quite a few players to watch and put on your radar. So some music. This is Janet Jackson featuring Q-Tip and Joni Mitchell. Got Till It's Gone. It's 6:45 on Phoenix FM.
Where? Joni Mitchell never lies. Now you looking at the walls, head and hand, cold frozen. Ringing my house, hanging up in it. Now why you wanna go and do that, love? Huh? You wanna go and do that, and do that, huh? Now why you wanna do that, love? Now why you wanna go and do that, and do that? Why you wanna go and do that, love? Huh? Now why you wanna go and do that, and do that, huh? Why you wanna go and do that, love? Huh? Why you wanna go and do that, and do that, and do that? Joni Mitchell never lies, lies.
You don't know what you've got to be.
Janet Jackson featuring Q-Tip and Joni Mitchell. Did you see Joni Mitchell's last weekend? She's 80 years old, performed at the awards ceremony, and it's class. That's all I'd say. And all of you that play a bit of cricket will know exactly what I am talking about.
This is Phoenix 98 FM.
You're listening to the Phoenix event. This is 98 Not Out with me, Darren Mutu. Cricket every Thursday night between 6 and 7. And back to the cricket. The SA20 is reaching climax. And a particular interest to the show, there was a player of the match award for Chelmsford Cricket Club and Essex Cricket Club's very own Sam Cook, who returned to figures of 4 for 24 off 3 overs and 5 balls as Pal Royals were bowled out for 138 against the Joburg Super Kings, sounds like a cigarette, who ran home easy winners by 9 wickets. The final against the Sunrisers in Cape is on a Saturday at 3:30 p.m. and you can watch that on Sky Sports Cricket. And various other people. If you like county cricket, it's now more important than ever that you become a member of the county that you support. Even if you can't get to every game, it's crucial so that you can say in the future of the game by being able to vote at AGMs and having a meaningful voice at your particular club, and to fend off the growing threat to Red Bull, for example, from franchise and the general eroding of county structure. Take part. Don't moan about it from afar. Be involved. Become a member. Support your local club. The thing with the counties and why it's important to remember, Yorkshire members have approved a controversial takeover of the cash-strapped consortium led by former chairman Colin Graves. It means that the 76-year-old, who was chair of Yorkshire from 2015, is set to return to the role. Graves' time at Yorkshire was part of the period for which the club was fined for failing to address the systemic use of discriminatory or racist language. The deal now needs approval from the Financial Conduct Authority. Special resolutions at a heated extraordinary Yorkshire General meeting on Friday was passed with 746 votes in favour, 88% of all of the votes cast. Do the maths. 88% was just 746. That's why you need to be a member. If you find these things distasteful or you don't agree with them, if they'd had more members that were more vocal, maybe there was it could have been a slightly different outcome. Anyway, three associates of Graves, Philip and Sanjay Patel and Sanjit Gandhi, are all also set to be appointed as non-executive directors. Subject to approval by the FCA in the next fortnight, a second tranche of personal unsecured loans of £1 million from Graves will be advanced to the club. Members of the new non-exec directors will then work with the board to arrange further funding of up to £4 million over a five-month period. With almost £15 million to the Graves Family Trust on potential investors no longer at the table, the board said last month it was recommending the loan of and exhausted all other options in its search for refinancing to avoid entering administration. Now, more grim news coming out of Middlesex. They've suffered a major blow ahead of the new season, with main sponsor Knight terminating their contract a year early. It adds misery to a club who are cash-strapped, having posted losses of £950,000 in 2021 accounts, and who have seen dwindling cash reserves. Remember, they're playing two Vitality Blast games at Chelmsford this year. The club announced they were to be sponsored by Castor, replacing Nike. But the Knight Frank blow, according to reports in the Mail, is said to be related to market conditions. The global property sales and letting firm signed a four-year deal with Middlesex, which was expected to run to the end of this season, but no more. We wish Middlesex all the best in trying to resolve that situation. Coming close to home at Essex, Daniel Sams have returned to the third successive season as an overseas player for the first eight games of the 2024 Vitality Blast. He was the Eagles' leading run scorer and wicket taker in last season's competition, and was named as the competition's most valuable player. Worth noting, though, that the contract he has signed is only for the first eight games of the Blast, so we just need to keep an eye on what happens there. Australia Cameron Bancroft has re-signed for Gloucestershire for the 2024 season. The 31-year-old has scored 446 runs in 10 tests for his country and has played in two Ashes series. Bancroft is the top scorer in the Sheffield Shield, which is Australia's domestic competition this winter, with 512 runs in six matches. He'll be able to play across all formats for Gloucestershire following previous spells in 2016 and 2017. Staying with Gloucestershire, they have signed another Aussie, all-rounder Beau Webster, for the 2024 season. A right-handed batter who bowls both right-arm medium and off-spin, Webster is eligible for the Vitality Blast campaign. The 30-year-old will also be able for Gloucestershire's county championship fixtures against Yorkshire and Glamorgan in June. Webster, if you're thinking that name is familiar to Essex fans, he played eight matches for Essex in the Metro Bank One Day Cup last season. West Indies fast international fast bowler Kemal will return to Surrey for the first seven matches of the 2024 County Championship season. The 35-year-old has been part of the team that has won the competition in the past two seasons, taking 25 wickets in their title defence last year. Roach has 396 wickets from 183 matches across all formats for his country. He will join up with his Surrey teammates for their first match against Lancashire in April, putting a jumper. All-rounder and former England under-19 captain George Ferguson has signed a new contract with Lancashire to run to the end of the 2026 season. The 23-year-old academy graduate made his debut in 2020 and has played 54 games for the county in Red Bull and 50-over cricket. Ferguson scored more than 700 runs in the county championship Division 1 last summer. And finally, well worth noting this one down, England returns to the old county ground in Brentwood on Friday the 19th of July. Write that down, Friday the 19th of July. Email events@brentwoodcricketclub.co.uk for full details. Hospitality packages are available, which includes a champagne reception, three-course lunch with complimentary wine, exclusive pre-match entertainment with tables hosted by a PCA England legend. You can also get priority access to the live and silent auctions. That's Friday, the 19th of July at Brentwood Cricket Club. It's a great day out. I've been to a couple of those now. Some top players coming along, and they were quite happy to meet with supporters, sign autographs, have selfies, all the rest of it. And you might even see Paul Webb in his stripy blazer. He did the bingo last time I was there, and that was well worth turning up for. Okay, that's it for this week. I hope you've enjoyed the show. Make sure you tell your friends and spread the word. Coming up after me at the top of the hour, it's Mr. John Chubb with the Non-League Hour, playing us out tonight. This is Bad, Bad, Not Good. And this track is called Slow. I'll catch you next Thursday at 6 o'clock for more 98 Not Out. Take care.
I found you at the window again, looking out, watching the leaves falling in. It was something like a dream. Oh, so perfect, couldn't talk to you. When you're out alone, the time moves slow. When you're missing a friend, and the time moves slow. When to the end, running away is easy. It's the leaving that's hard. But what was I to do? Just couldn't help myself. I'm in love with you. What did I say? Oh, if I had enough chance, I'd make you stay. Cause when you ran away, I knew just what you were thinking that day. You just didn't love me like I do, like I love you. The sad thing is, therefore, this way. Time moves slow, you can't hear a thing. When you're lost in the dream, and the time moves slow, when you wake up from.
On the hour, across Brentwood and Ricky, this is Phoenix FM News.